I am Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things.
Spooky things.
And we really like self-care.
Lots of self-care.
And I don't know why my voice is, hi, I'm Kim. I sounded like I was talking to a dog, so.
Well,
my apologies.
It's fine. We love it.
What did you do this week for self-care other than hearing me scream, hi, in a really high voice?
This week for self-care, I finished a journal. I keep a journal like pretty regularly, so I ordered like 10 more.
I've been looking at them. I love
you should
them.
Look at the patterns. They're really cute.
Oh, I'll show you.
So I ordered like 10 more journals so that I don't run out of journals for quite a while.
I'm curious, are you journaling like in a diary kind of way, like today I'm feeling?
It's kind of more like, well, yeah, like I'm like, today I did this, and I felt good about that, and I hated this, and also, fuck this person, and fuck that person. Like, if you read my, it would be like, there'd be some tea. I'm definitely not a journal person who, like, holds back.
I feel like if it's good tea, you've told me. I hope you're not, like, Kim's annoying.
No.
Here's what Kim did today.
No. It's mostly about Steven, but no, I'm just kidding.
Okay, but
there
like,
are some parts.
If I'm gonna vent, it's probably gonna
be
about my partner.
Granddaughters to know,
yeah,
the life I lived.
My sister wrote a journal when she first had her first child,
mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Just so you know, we used to be cool, and we're leaving you this,
aww,
so you don't have to wonder if we were actually cool." And I read it, and it was so cute. I was like,
"Yeah,
I
definitely put a lot of Ronan's moments in there." I'm like, "Today, Ronan did this, and he smiled at me, and it was so cute."
Good God, he's growing so fast.
Yeah. So it's
handing him to Steven was painful because he's getting heavy.
He's heavy. He's a heavy boy. But yeah, so I got like a whole bunch of cute journals that are like fun patterns and shit.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
It felt exciting. I should start.
I love journaling, honestly. It's nice to like get it out.
Because it might be good like when I start therapy.
And then
just kind of knowing where
my
to like
father-in-law was like, "Oh, do you like read them back?" And I'm like, I probably should. Just to like see the patterns.
I have a journal that I started writing in. And I stopped it when I started dating your brother. Oh. And it would be really interesting to go back and reading it. And I'm like, I don't know if he's that into me. Here's what happened. just so you know, I didn't know Keith liked me for the first 2 years of our relationship. And then he told me he liked me. And I was like, well, I guess I have to trust that.
I mean, we're living together at this point, but okay.
Yeah. I was like, oh, no.
I hope you like me.
Hopefully.
Or should I call you lover?
I love when I refer to him and the dogs as my roommates. I do it to friends. It's like, so my roommate, which so is annoying. And people are like, what? And I'm like, he had the audacity, and I'll like say something super normal. And then I talk about the dogs, and people are like, are you fucking talking about Keith and the dogs? I'm like, yeah.
Obviously, you didn't catch on.
Yeah.
Hello.
We might be married, but we still live together. We're still roommates, technically.
What did you do for your self-care?
Well, you didn't get to come last night, but me and Jess had a lot of fun. We made bracelets. You were invited.
I was invited, but Ronan had like 5 shots.
Well, I knew you were like probably not going to be able to.
He was having a rough day, so...
Poor boy. Well, he can always come too if you
need a change
of scenery. But we just made bracelets and we...
Friendship bracelets?
We did make friendship
bracelets. Did they say bestie?
They say best bitches. You would have gotten one too.
Okay. Well, make me one next time.
I'll make you. I'll still make you one.
Let's have another night where we do crafts, because I have a whole bunch of beads and cute little letters and shit that we can do.
And then, well, I brought the dip that me and Jess ended up not eating, and I'm probably going to take it for Super Bowl Sunday because we still didn't eat it. It's so good,
though. I want to try it, though.
Yeah. No, we'll try it. But then maybe you come over Super Bowl Sunday and we do crafts.
You know how I feel about sports.
I say we do crafts instead.
Okay.
You think I'm kidding? I don't want to watch this. I don't care about this game.
I know. It's funny because I'm subbing a class on Sunday at 1:30. And the girl, like, I saw her that I'm subbing for, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm, like, subbing for you on Sunday. And she was like, oh, yeah, like, you don't care about, like, the Super Bowl, right? I was like, oh, the Super Bowl's this Sunday?
I don't care about the Super Bowl.
I don't care about the Super Bowl.
I kind of want to see what Kendrick Lamar's going to do, though. I don't even. I'm not a big Kendrick. Well, I want to hear him call Drake a pedophile on TV.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big Kendrick Lamar fan.
I don't know. I don't really care. So, yeah, she was like, oh, like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. Dude, I didn't even know this was a Super Bowl Sunday. Like,
I just want to get together and do crafts on Sunday.
Okay.
So.
Let's do it.
Okay. I have a shit ton of beads. Like, okay. It's stupid. I have big beads. I have, like, letter beads where we can, like, do letters.
Letters.
And I have, like, pretty beads. We got
beads.
I got beads on beads on beads.
Beads on beads on beads on beads.
And I can give you a bracelet because I don't think we're going to sell any bracelets. So you can pick colors of bracelets.
What do you mean sell bracelets?
Do you remember I was making like hundreds and hundreds of bracelets?
For your craft shows. Okay, I have a shit ton of flannels that we can bleach and also do craft shows. Let's do like a spring craft show.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I love how we just like.
I can help you with the flannels too.
On the show, we're like, anyways, here's the things we're gonna do.
Hey guys, come to our craft show
and
also
our craft show and buy goods from us.
Yeah. I think if we do it, Keith, who just got home, will sell boards. We just have to like do that, and then he'll make boards for it. So, let's do it.
Okay, we're doing it.
Anyways, guys, come to our craft show. We don't know what we're doing yet, but it's happening.
There will be crafts.
But you can still have a bracelet or two.
Okay, thank you.
Anyways, so what are you going to be telling me about this week?
So this week is, it's a like non-violent true crime story.
Okay, mine was also non-violent.
You know what? Sometimes we need a little break because last week, or the one that I did where the head happened, like, that was violent.
Okay, but guess what? You did a really good job.
Thank you.
And it was very nice because I usually do the brutal ones.
Yeah.
I still think about Elise Pollard. That was the girl. Yeah, I think about that, like, a few times a day.
I think about that often.
Yeah, because that one was fucked up. But it was Jennifer's body's case, so. Yeah,
it just, like, lives in my head, though.
But sometimes you need to do the brutal stuff.
Yeah. So people are aware that there's fucked up people out there, I guess. So this week is a true crime story, but no one got murdered.
Okay.
No one got hurt. We're all good.
It's emotionally hurt?
Maybe emotionally a little bit.
Okay, because last week mine was emotionally hurt.
But it's like, this is a story that needs to be heard.
Okay.
So this is the story.
You said it's lighthearted for the most part. I'm like, well, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to start out. I'm just going to give you a little,
just jump in.
Snippet of the backstory, and then we're going to jump right in.
You need the backstory to know the full story.
We're in Florida, 1969.
Aretha, the year of the moon landing.
Allegedly. I'm just kidding.
I was like, oh no.
I'm totally kidding.
I was like, you know what your brother does for a living, right?
Yeah,
he'll fight you.
But it was waving in the wind. There's no wind in space. That's the only conspiracy like theory that I think it's funny.
That's hilarious. I actually didn't know like the theories. I was like, oh my God. Anyone who's like, no, this is a hoax. I'm like, I'm going to go over here and like, because I feel like they're also like, also, did you know the Earth's flat? And I'm like,
okay.
And for that reason, I'm out.
And for that reason, stop talking to me. Okay. So Florida, 1969.
Okay.
Aretha Franklin is vacationing.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. I just needed people to know, like, that she is, like,
iconic.
She is, like,
queen of soul.
Queen of soul and my heart.
She's vacationing when she gets wind that she will be performing at Ocala, Florida's Southeastern Livestock Pavilion.
This story so much.
It's so good.
Yes.
Which is a 4,200 seat venue where farmers showed their cattle at auction. So she's like, what the fuck?
Arguably a small venue.
She's for her.
Because she's like used to doing arenas.
She's Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
Like, and she's like, what the fuck? I'm on vacation. I'm not performing.
Yeah, what are they talking
so about? So she's confused. And she knows she's not booked to do any shows. So she alerts her agent and then her attorney. And in a short amount of time, it is found out that a man named Lavelle Hardy is the booking agent for this show. And he has a woman who we will later know as Mary Jones performing as Aretha Franklin. So this is the story.
But she looks just like her. And she sounds.
She sounds just like her. She looks enough to pass.
But I'm saying you can do makeup. Like mm-hmm. the makeup. Like, yeah. You know.
You could have a wig.
Yeah.
So this is the story of Mary Jones, the woman who was kidnapped and forced to impersonate the iconic Aretha Franklin.
On her own dime.
Mary Jane Jones was born in 1942 in Virginia. She got married at 19 and had her first son, Larry. And when her first husband passed away, she remarried to a man named Bobby Jones. They had three more sons, Quentin, Gregory, and Keith.
Aww.
Keith.
Keith.
In 1963, at age 21, Mary found her place in her community with a Baptist church choir called the Great Gate.
Right spot for her.
Yeah. The choir was led by Reverend Billy Lee. Well, that was a weird sound. Did you hear that?
Have you ever opened your... Okay, I've opened my mouth and, like, a sound I didn't make came out.
That was weird.
The other night, sorry, really quickly. The other night, I was sleeping, and I woke up to myself going, like, I woke up to that.
The fuck?
I look over and Keith's looking at me.
Like, I'm not possessed, I promise.
It's like, I couldn't breathe there for a minute. That was a lie. I didn't know what the fuck what that was about. Have you done that?
One time I farted myself awake, like when Steven and I were first dating.
Was he awake still?
Yeah. Like I was like falling asleep and then I farted myself awake and he was like, did you just fart? And I was like, hello, priest. And he was like, what? And I was like, you know, like, hello, priest. I don't know. I was like half asleep. It made no sense.
I can't even handle what I'm hearing right now.
So that's,
I'm now gonna say that to you whenever I make like a weird place
for me or for Steven to be married to me is me farting myself awake.
I wish I knew that last week when you're like, was that your stomach?
And I'm racial like, things that are like not appropriate. We might need to cut that. It's embarrassing.
Okay, keep going.
You like how I just like had that? I was like, actually, yes.
I'm crying. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's a good one.
So she joins her choir. The choir was led by Reverend Billy Lee. And I relied heavily, like, let me just say this at the top, on a Smithsonian article by Jeff Mache. It's called The Counterfeit Queen of Soul. And also, he was, like, the guest in the Criminal podcast. Like, you've heard Criminal, right, with Phoebe Judge. Like,
oh, have I heard it? No. Do I know what you're talking about? Absolutely.
Oh my god, she's so good. She's so good.
There's this just where I got so the bog bodies too.
Like,
this,
she's so
there's
good.
So many different like good podcasts.
Yeah. So
there's one called
it was
the
Criminal podcast. And this specific episode was called The Impersonator, in which Phoebe Judge talked with Jeff Mache, who was the one who wrote the Smithsonian article. So like
I did listen
he knows
to,
a lot about this.
Yeah, I did listen to a podcast and I don't remember who it was. It might have been My Favorite Murder.
My Favorite Murder did just recently cover it and I was like, oh my god, I forgot
it's
about it.
It's such
this.
A good one.
Yeah.
It's such it's a good so one. Good.
It's like just, it's such a good story. You know, like I love a good story where you're like, what the fuck?
Because rarely do we have good endings to our stories. True. I mean, usually it's like, and they were never found again.
Right.
But this one has, I think, as good of an ending as one can have.
So absolutely.
Keep going. And you know what? Last week, I also had a really good source. When there's a source that's like most of it, you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I love that.
Jeff Mache, thank you for bringing 10 out of 10. This story to like the general population. So
it's a good one.
Anyways, according to Jeff Mache's article in the mm-hmm. Smithsonian, Billy Lee, the Reverend, commented about Mary. I had to teach most of the folks in my groups, but that was one young lady I did not have to teach soul.
Some people just got it.
She has the talent. She has the soul. She has, like, sometimes, like, you know, you can train to, like, be a good singer. This lady was a good singer, and she had the, like, soul behind it to make it, like, get you in your feels. Like, have you ever heard a singer and it, like, gives you goosebumps and you, like, kind of tear up a little bit?
Can I say who?
Yeah.
This is going to sound strange. Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, my God.
Because Kelly Clarkson, I think, is so underestimated.
She is so underrated. She is... She's got, amazing. And have you seen her series where she just like covers other people's songs?
Whitney Houston, she covered, and that is not a song you should ever cover.
But, unless you have the
and
pipes.
And obviously, but
Kelly Clarkson has the pipes to
and
back
she,
it up.
Like, obviously, Whitney Houston did it the best, but I'm telling you, Kelly Clarkson came close. And someone
was
else.
It the I Will Always Love You mm-hmm. one?
Yeah.
You know, Dolly Parton wrote that?
Yeah. And she amazing. Bought it. And Dolly Parton said, you know what? With the money she gave me, she can sing her heart out. Mm-hmm. And but Dolly Parton's just great anyway.
I mean, everyone loves
but,
Dolly
and
Parton.
I'm not a big fan of her because she's not a girl's girl. And you know me, I'm a girl's girl.
Dolly Parton?
No. Hold on. Ariana Grande has an amazing voice. I don't really like Ariana Grande, but I think she's very talented too.
Oh, absolutely.
She's but talented. I'm not a big fan of her because she's not a girl's girl. So
I mean, yeah.
Whatever. She likes to sleep with me.
We learn. Again. We grow. Yeah.
I hope she
we
does.
We listen without judging.
Unless you're Ariana
I love
Grande.
That trend. Have you, there was like, it was like a picture of Nick from New Guy or from New Girl. Did you ever watch New Girl?
Yeah, I did. I know Nick. Yeah. I didn't see the one with him.
Well, no, it was just like his faces where he's confused by like what people are saying. And it was like, we're listening and we're not judging. And it's Nick's face just like.
I love that trend. It's a good one.
It's good. Okay, so anyways, she's an extremely talented singer.
She just has it.
Like, she's got it. And she idolized Aretha Franklin, who obviously had an equally
who
powerful
doesn't?
Voice.
Who doesn't?
Right. And she kind of, like, trained herself to sing by listening to Aretha's records.
Yeah.
And she just, like, resonated so much with Aretha Franklin because, you know, there's, like, songs about struggle and, like, hard times. And
her songs had meaning and she had power to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, it was, like, and she was also, like, she was found in a church. Like, people discovered her in a church choir. And that's how she kind of got her start.
Yeah.
And so Mary was, like,
that could be me, maybe.
She felt these parallels to Aretha, where it was like, she knows a struggle, I know a fucking struggle, we love to sing. Like, she just felt it in her heart.
If you can resonate with somebody, that's amazing.
Totally. And she was just like, you know, if she could make it, like, anything is possible.
Yeah.
Like, especially in a time where it's like, it's the 60s, like, there's a lot of issues happening in the country with, like,
a lot of racial issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, people not treating Black people or African Americans as equals. And there's still a struggle today. But, like, it was
but it,
very,
it is
very
truly
bad
better than it
with
was
the segregation
in the 60s. But it was
the 60s.
Awful then. And I
it
just.
It was a bad, bad time.
Any little bit of upward trajectory was good, especially during the 60s.
Sure.
And I think, like, it's better than it was then, but there's still so much work that needs to be done.
Absolutely. So she just idolized Aretha Franklin. Like,
yeah.
That was, like,
I do too.
Goals,
yeah.
You know? And sadly, Mary's second marriage ended in a divorce in 1968.
Yeah.
Bobby was an alcoholic. He was actually quite abusive. And so she found herself to be a single mom struggling to take care of her four boys.
How brave of her.
Especially in that time. How brave of her. Not only are you a black woman trying to get out of like a marriage, and then you're also like trying to take care of four boys, like four growing boys. They're hungry. Boys are hungry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, girls are hungry too, but like four boys.
But not on the level of like boys. But yeah, that's really brave of her. I really like admire that.
So she's trying to like make it. Yeah. She relied on government assistance as well as donations that she received from working in the church choir. But that was like, you know, if you feel like you want to donate, like please donate. And then they like all split it kind of thing. So it's like, you're not making a lot.
And women at this point, I don't know if it was close to it or if it was during the time of not, women couldn't have a bank account.
Yeah. No, this is definitely before that
time. Okay, because I didn't know if it was the early 70s or the late 60s when that was
74 when you could finally get a bank account on your own, so like without having like your dad or a husband.
So not only are you dealing with like civil rights issues, you're also dealing with like
women
issues. Gender issues. Yeah. So like more power to her. That's incredible. Right.
And she brave. Also, like, I mean, she grew up in a time where it was like she didn't necessarily like women weren't pushed to get an education. Mm-hmm. And especially as a black woman, like that was kind of like education for what?
Yeah. You know? What are you going to do?
Exactly.
It's disgusting. But
unless you had like a lot of money or you really wanted to do that. But she's like, how am I going to survive? I'm leaning on the government assistance. I'm trying to get through with these donations from the church. And so what she turned to was, she's like, I got this fucking talent. Like, I'm going to use it.
I love that. And I love that she believed in herself like that.
She would secretly sing at nightclubs in the evenings as part of like a Motown act. And she would make like $10 a night, which in today's money is like $107.
You can't even buy yourself a full meal $10.
No.
Off the value menu. Like,
yeah. So $107 each night to try and like feed her four sons. Like, that's
wild.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And but she was like, I gotta do it, you know, like I gotta make this happen. Yeah, and so at the time, you know, in the 60s, the music that Mary loved so much was kind of considered the devil's music. Like, because it was blues and it was jazz, and you know, there were a lot of things that were talked about that were sinful in those kinds of genres.
Well, there was a lot of time where they're like, you can't dance, or like, that's the devil speaking through you. Yeah, like, which is the most insane thing ever.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And so obviously she was like, well, now there's like two conflicting parts of her. Like, she's like church Mary who sings in the choir. And if the choir found out that she was singing in nightclubs, singing some blues and some jazz,
they'd be like, get the fuck away.
They would be like, you gotta get out, you know? Yeah. So she wants to keep her community, but she also needs to like feed her children.
What a hard spot to be in.
Right. So
making that choice.
She doesn't want to be kicked out of the choir. So she's got to like disguise herself. So she wears heavy makeup. She wears wigs. She wears costumes. And she goes under the stage name of Vicky Jones or sometimes Vicky Jane.
I wonder if it was a little fun too. Like being a different person.
It was so fun.
Like, because I'm like, she had to disguise herself, but like,
to like go perform at your best, right? And then be like applauded for it. And people are like, fuck yeah, like we love you. You know, like
I love that.
That must be such a high. Like, I've never had like a performer's high, but I'm sure it's like, I mean, when people describe it like rock stars and stuff, it's like nothing you've ever felt
before. But
when
you get your hair and makeup done, don't you feel like a different person?
Oh, absolutely. And to kind of like be like incognito and it's like secret.
Nobody knows who you are.
A fun aspect to it, right?
Yeah, like, that's what I miss about like doing makeup, because I did that for a living. I do miss like the, you could do anything with it.
Yeah.
You could change your entire appearance.
Totally.
That's fun though. I'm like, that probably was kind of fun too.
Totally. So in early January of 1969, Mary performed Aretha Franklin's Respect at a club called the Pink Garter, which
Ooh,
is...
Ooh, I like that name. That's a cute name. I like
sounds
that.
Sounds fun. And to the audience, she was Aretha Franklin. Like, the likeness was spot on. Because, like, imagine it. We don't have cell phones. We can't just, like, give it a goog and be like, is that Aretha Franklin? You know, like, they knew she was an impersonator, but, like, she was so, like, spot on with the wig and the makeup and the, like, they felt like,
and you know, they're probably, they were maybe she's show. Doing a pop-up show. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
And, like, it's, you know, dimly lit because it's a club and there's cigarette smoke and there's a fog machine. Like, she's killing it. She kills it as this impersonator, and people are just like, hell yeah, she's so good. And there was another performer that night that took note of Mary's spectacular performance.
Was she an opener for this other band mm-hmm. that took note of her? And they're yeah. like, maybe she shouldn't be opening for us.
So, well, it wasn't a band. It was a guy, 24-year-old hairdresser from New York, Lavelle Hardy. This guy 24 was also,
years old. I'm like, I know, right? Baby.
He was also an impersonator, but he was impersonating James Brown that night. And he made $200 a night. So he's making way more
which
than,
is good money now if you're just doing something for fun. But I can't imagine. But like
compared
that time,
to her $10 a night.
Yeah, she needs to be making at least half of that. At least.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, okay, like, this girl's got it. And he was like, not only was he like a hairdresser and an impersonator of James Brown, but he also had a record called Don't Lose Your Groove that actually reached number 42 on the Cashbox singles chart okay. in 1968. So he's got a little bit of, like,
notoriety.
Yeah. He's like, he's not quite famous, but he's like, He's doing better than she is.
He's working his way up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lavelle said that Mary was the best performer that he'd ever seen. Like, hands down, he was like, whoa, blown away. And he couldn't help but recognize that Mary not only had the voice of Aretha Franklin, but she looked like
the stage similar. Presence.
Like, her skin tone was similar, her, like, body type, like, her hair a little bit, like, she could pass.
People so he know. Had a light bulb moment.
He had a light bulb moment. And he's like, I'm going to go to her with a little business proposal. So a week later, Lavelle Hardy followed Mary Jane Jones to a show at Richmond's Executive Motor Inn. Random. And, like, what a weird random. Name for a, like, place, but okay. And he knew she was performing there, and he's like, watched her perform again and again. He's like, holy shit, like,
she's got it.
And he's like, you know what we should do is we should go on tour across Florida. And Mary's like, yeah, no,
I can't, I have children
also, like, who the fuck are you? No. And she's like, I can't even afford bus fare to, like, get to Florida, like, no. And so then he's like, okay, but, like, hear me out. What actually would happen is that you would be the opener for Aretha Franklin.
Like, yeah, that lie.
I've got the ties. I've got the, like, hookups. I forgot to say this at first, but you would be the opener of Aretha Franklin.
Mm. And sounds like you're bearing, like, the lead, my friend.
What? And he's like, and you'd be paid $1,000 for all six of the shows. Like, that's a lot of money.
See, right that's now, like, I'm like, that's insulting.
That's more money than she's ever made, like, in her life.
Yeah.
She's making $10 a night, and now she's going to make $1,000.
For six shows. Almost $200 a show.
Like, that's a lot of fucking money. So, of course, she's like, yeah, I'm trying to feed my children, bitch. And so she...
exactly like that.
She's like, I can't refuse this. Aretha Franklin is my fucking idol. And to open for her...
honor.
What? Like, how has this opportunity fallen into my lap, you know? And so she's like, hell yeah, let's do it. And so she gets her bus fare. She actually has to like go to a local like loan place.
I hate that he didn't just pay for it.
I know, because like if you
he had more than enough money,
if you were a real ass like agent, you would pay for her to get there and you would pay to put her up.
Hey guys, here's a fun fact. Any job you do, any legitimate job you do, you don't have to pay money to do it.
Well, and like, and people are gonna pay for you. Like,
I know she's blinded by the $1,000 opening for Aretha Franklin. What a dream job,
right?
And I get she's blinded. I'm just like, hey,
shit's too good to be true.
Hey, viewers out there, viewers of listening,
who listen to view
you.
I don't know.
Listen to view here. Yeah, you don't have to pay money for a legitimate job.
So she had to pay. She had to go borrow money for her bus fare to get to Florida. And when she arrived, Lavelle's like, just kidding. You're not going to be opening for Aretha. You are going to be Aretha Franklin.
And like, also, this isn't nearly as fun as you thought it was going to be. Yeah. Ha-ha.
And she's like, no. Like, she's heartbroken. Like, because she thought this was like the opportunity of a lifetime.
And she left her children. Like, she that's got to be rough.
With her mom. She's like, this was supposed to be my like make or break moment.
Yeah.
And now I'm stuck here. I don't even have money to like get back if I want to.
That
and
was the hard part when I was listening to this. It was like, she can't even go home she wanted to.
And on top of that, Lavelle threatened her that if she didn't cooperate with him, that he'd throw her in the bay and no one would ever look for her. Her body could be easily disposed of. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't think he knew this, but Mary's like worst fear in life was drowning because she couldn't swim.
Well, I just hate that she didn't have anyone who was able to go with her.
Like, who would go with her?
I know, that's the thing, but like,
you know,
like if that was happening to me,
single mom,
I'd probably like, Danae, I need you to come with me, or like somebody, I would have somebody I come guess. With me.
Yeah,
I don't know, that's when I'm like, that makes me sad.
So she's truly isolated with this fucking weirdo that seemed so nice,
threatening her with her biggest fear,
threatening her. And she's like, oh my God, like,
I feel for her. My heart breaks for her at this moment.
So, and also, like, I mean, as a true crime person, like, we know that, like, if someone just, like, showed up in the bay, like, they don't have DNA. And all the water washes off all your evidence anyways. So, like,
and not only that, but your body decays so much quicker in water.
It's like a viable, like, he could fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know this guy.
Evidence goes away immediately in water, and like bodies disintegrate in water. Fun fact, everyone. What he's
capable of.
And so, do people know exactly where she is? Maybe not. They just know she's in Florida
because it's the fucking 60s.
Yeah, but people I'm saying like writing letters. They probably know. Like her mom knows she's in Florida.
She's like around. Yeah, but they're not like tracking her location like we can do now, you know?
Well, think like somebody doesn't write you a letter. You're like, ah, oh, they're busy.
They're busy. They like they're living their life. Yeah. So she had no choice to go along with his plans.
I hate it.
And according to the Smithsonian article, in Florida, Lavelle Hardy contacted two local promoters, Albert Wright, a band leader, and Reginald Pasteur, an assistant school principal. On the telephone, Lavelle claimed to represent Miss Franklin. He was like, you guys, Aretha usually, she charges $20,000 per night.
Aretha's bored and she wants to do this.
But for a limited time, like it's some kind of fucking sale, she'd perform for just $7,000 a night.
If you call the next 24 hours, she'll throw in an additional after show for three songs.
Like, what?
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of infomercials.
No, that's exactly what it is. And so Albert Wright, who was like the band leader guy, he was like, oh my God, Aretha Franklin. Like,
he's, I mean, like, makes sense.
He's desperate to meet her. So he's like, hell yeah, let's do it. And then he even like offered to arrange a detective to come like provide a car for who he thought was Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
And
that's kind that you want to make sure kind. She was like, but Lavelle
Hardy's like, no, we don't need cops.
We don't want you near her.
We don't need cops involved. We certainly do not need cops.
He was the original social distancer. He's like, stay 6 feet away.
Exactly. At all times. He's like, Don't make eye contact with her. She hates that.
She's a diva.
Exactly. And so Lavelle forced Mary to perform 3 small shows around Florida, and they were like super successful, like sold out. People were losing their fucking minds. They were like, oh my God. Like they were like standing
ovation. How did we get so lucky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Losing their shit. And it's, you know, the same thing. Like people didn't recognize artists by their looks necessarily. Like you had like a general, like you could see a magazine here and there, whatever. But you're not like constantly on social media like, I know what Lady Gaga looks like, you know?
I think the only person who couldn't get away with like tricking me, Brandon Flowers. But Michael I'm saying Jackson. Like, there's so many people who I've had to look like. Up because I'm like,
wait. If I saw that guy in the middle of like a mall, there's no way. I would not recognize him.
Brandon Flowers?
Yeah. I like, would. But like, that's what I'm saying is like, we, it's such a different time. And at this time, not even a lot of people had TVs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're not wrong. Because, like, now, like, I'm saying, like, I know one person who I would know.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, anyone else, if you look close enough, there's a girl on TikTok who looks just like Ariana Grande. And I'm telling you, if I saw that girl, I would think she was her.
Right.
And there's that girl who looks just like Taylor Swift. Yeah. She's a little bit, like, bigger. But not by a lot. But I would see her and immediately be like.
It's, like, that thing when, like, people.
But I'm looking post, at them constantly.
Like, photos and they're, like, I thought I met DJ Khaled. And it's, like, some random fucking guy like, that kind of looks like him.
But like, I could understand if you're not looking at them all the time.
You don't have a TV.
You're just like, oh, yeah. You
are not on social media because, like, that's not even a fucking thing. Like, they don't know. And so they recognize the voice, and that's what she has.
Yeah,
is the voice that sounds exactly
which like is Aretha such a Franklin. Hard voice to duplicate.
Yeah, like, damn, dude. So
duplicate, replicate, same word.
They're doing well, and he actually booked a 1400 seat gig at the Hi Hat Club in Fort Myers, and again.
I love Fort Myers. Have you been? It.
No, I've never been to Florida.
You've never been to Florida?
Mm-mm. Maybe in like airports for like passing over, like layovers, but you've never, I've never been to
Florida. I've been to Miami 3 times. I've been to Orlando 3 times. I've
heard it's amazing.
I've been to Fort Myers. Okay, we need to go to Universal Studios. They also had like a Super Mario Brothers world. I'm not even a I'm not even a Mario fan, but like I want to go see what that's about.
Hell yeah.
Let's go to Universal Studios in Florida.
Okay.
We'll call Cassie. Hey so, Cassie, are you listening?
Cassie.
We're going to call you.
We're hanging out with you. We're staying at your house.
Yes, we are. She would love that. She'd be like, "I'm making the beds right now."
Okay, so Lavelle, like, bought Mary a cheap yellow gown, and he just, like, made sure she had a bunch of stage makeup on, the wig, and, like, you know, every little thing he could do. He's like, okay, and, like, the lighting needs to be just so, like, we don't want people asking questions. And
I mean, he was being careful, even though we, like, went on our soapbox and talked about, like, how we would know some people, but not everyone, like.
Right. And so she walks out on the stage, and this is, like, more people than she's ever performed for.
So I'm sure she's feeling, she's like real nervous. Terrified. Yeah.
And, you know, she's forced to do this. Like, she wants to go on stage and be like, "Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Jane Jones, and I'm not Aretha Franklin." But, like, who knows what this psycho is going to do to her.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame her for feeling that
but
way.
But she's like, okay, I have to do this. And he even told her, too. He's like, not only will, like, I throw you in the bay, but like if the promoters find out that you're not Aretha Franklin, like, you fucked.
I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah, he sucks.
Because she doesn't know better.
No, he knew what he was doing.
She was vulnerable. Fucking asshole.
He knew that he could profit off of her.
And he knew probably that she was really scared of getting thrown in water.
Yeah, duh. I mean, well, I don't know if he knew that was like her number one top fear ever, but like,
but by her I would reaction, also like maybe I'm a good swimmer, would.
But like if you're telling me you're gonna throw me in the bay, like, okay,
I'm gonna gonna backstroke the whole way home.
So she walked out there, she belted her heart out, the crowd went wild, and people were like kind of skeptical, like they were like, people who had seen Aretha in concert before. Well, they're
like, before, she performs in bigger groups.
They were just kind of like, she doesn't look the same. But when she sang, all the doubters were like,
okay, I was about to say, wait, but her voice probably. Yeah. They're like, oh, she, wait.
Yeah, and like no one complained and no one asked for their ticket money back. So like they got away with it.
Flawless plan.
Yeah. So then Lavelle
book
started
now
getting
for 15% off my account.
Yeah, like I'm still stuck on that. So he started getting a little greedy because he's like, all these shows are going so well. People are like eating it up. He's like, let's book a bigger show.
And I won't give you any money.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not giving her any money until the end. Because he knows if she gets any money, she's going to fucking get bus fare and go
home.
Because
that's what the point is. She wants to get home.
He's like literally holding her hostage.
God, I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah, he's a dick. So he books a show in Ocala for 4,200 seats. Like, this is huge. It's like double, like almost
double.
How
many seats are there?
4,200 seats.
Okay, sorry. You just said that and it just like.
Whoosh. Oh, no, you're fine. And the one before was 1,400. Like, he's getting greedy.
Does she have any issues with stage fright?
No.
Okay.
No.
I love that. I'm just saying, like, but the first time.
She's just scared because she's, like, fucking kidnapped. Like,
because I was, like, a little Nuggets dancer. Like, a little, like, one of the little ones. And I'd go on the, it wasn't as cute. I was, like, probably 12. But I got to tell you. When you're sitting in the stands, you're like, oh, it's not that bad. But when you go on that,
when you're on the floor.
When you are on the floor and there are that many people, I got to tell you, it's like.
Yeah.
Because at least, like, there's probably at any given point at least 100 people looking at you.
Oh, yeah. No, she was scared in terms of, like.
That's so brave.
I'm not Aretha Franklin. And I don't want to be doing this. Like,
I'm
not
scared
like,
I'm going to get
not that she couldn't perform, because she could perform.
But I don't want to be forced into this, because I thought I was going to be opening for Aretha Franklin. I thought me and her were going to be besties, and we were going to be like Taylor Swift and Blake Lively at the Super Bowl. I'm just kidding, because she's not going to be there that year.
But
year.
So the whole, the show that is booked for Ocala, like, this news spreads quick because people are like, oh my God, she's coming here. She's going to be at this place. We got to see her. And like,
it's an intimate venue.
Like I said at the beginning, the true Aretha Franklin caught wind of it and was like, I'm not performing. Like,
I love that the OG Aretha Franklin had to be like,
she hears about it.
I love that she's like, not what? Like any of her agents were like, that's weird. It's her in the flesh. I love that.
Yeah. And so that brings us back to where
we started.
Where we started. And so Lavelle Hardy and Mary Jane Jones were arrested at Ocala's Club Valley nightclub. Lavelle was charged with false advertising and his bond was set at $500.
I like that he was charged with it.
Yeah, because he's the fucking culprit.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I could see them being like, well, we're charging you because she just happened to be there.
And also a woman and a black woman. Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They love to just charge
she existed is pretty much
no
where I'm
reason.
Yeah.
But Mary swore. She was like, I
didn't want to be a part of this.
Was forced to perform. I was brought here under false pretenses. Like, I'm
scared.
Like, this guy threatened to kill me, dude. Like,
I can't swim.
I can't swim.
And do you swim? Because I can't.
I'm not a swimmer. And she was like, he tricked me into telling me, like, I'm going to open for Aretha Franklin. And then I get here and he's like, just kidding. You're going to be her. And he would, like, literally.
I love that she was trusted.
He
that.
Would make her perform the shows, right? And then he would quickly, like, get her out of there. Like, she's not lingering around for people to be like, oh my God, can I get an autograph after? Like, no, we're out of here. Get the fuck out.
I gotta say, I saw Tom Petty at Red Rocks, and I also saw Tom Petty immediately after his concert get into a black Escalade and leave
and
before people
out.
Even had time. Isn't that wild? So I was just like, oh shit.
He's trying to make sure no one's, you know, being like, that's not her.
Yeah, they can't give them time to, like, mingle, because if they mingle, they'll immediately
know.
Yeah.
So he would take her back to, like, some cheap-ass hotel.
course he did, because he's motel. Yeah.
And feed her a couple hamburgers and, like, lock her in for the night.
Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that he was like, here's the McDoubles.
Exactly. Like, yeah. He's like, have some of this.
Locking you in. See you in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a fucking asshole. I laugh because I'm so uncomfortable. No, that's what he fucking did.
Yeah. And so she's pleading her case. She's like, this was not my fucking plan. Like, I did not know about this. I did not want to do this.
I think a little bit because I'm like, obviously people have gotten away with, like, lying. But I think, like, she probably was so genuine. Sorry, I keep hiccuping. She was probably so genuine that they were like, she seems really stressed out.
Yeah. Well, and there were, like, a lot of impersonators at this time. Like, yeah. It was, like, a normal thing because people could get away with it.
I mean, now people, like, are impersonators. There's no way. But they say it, but they, like, advertise themselves as impersonators. They're not trying to
pass them off as the real thing. But you
still, like, because I remember there was a Britney Spears impersonator, and I got to tell you, I mean, I knew the difference because, like, well, yeah. Britney Spears is very unique looking. But girlfriend was making, like, $5,000 a night. And she's like, I even make more in tips.
Totally. And so, yeah, she, like, basically is telling the police. She's like, this is, like, you gotta believe me. I'm not here. Like, I'm not part of this plan.
I want to get back to my kids.
Yeah. And so Lavelle, he just tried to make it seem like it's no big deal. Like, one of the
She's cops, being dramatic.
The cops was like, he was a fast talker. Like, he's like a salesman kind of guy. Like you said, where he's like, for half the price, we can, like,
call the next 15 minutes and we'll add two ShamWows.
Right.
So or whatever.
He's just like, kidnap Schmidnap? What? Like,
kidnap Schmidnap?
I don't know what she's talking about. And he was...
I just imagine him having, like, a, like, really big hat and, like, a mustache that he would, like,
twirl.
He probably doesn't. But
he had, from some of the articles I read, or, like, I don't know if it was
You know what big hat I'm talking about. Like,
no, he had a... because he was a hairstylist, he had, like, a big, like, poof. A pompadour. A 6-inch pompadour.
Oh, like he had a nice coif to his hair. You know who has nice coifs to their hair? Hmm. Yeah, I'm using that word. Assholes.
Yeah. I mean, coif equals asshole.
Yeah.
So he was quoted as saying about Mary.
Yeah, Kim, you go.
He was like, there wasn't anybody standing over her with a gun and a knife. She wasn't forced to do anything. And about those hamburgers... We all ate hamburgers.
Jesus Christ. That is embarrassing.
Not because we had to, but because they taste good. Like, sir. Be for fucking real.
You want to know what's really funny? Is I'm like, what a nightmare. I can't eat hamburgers. I'd be fucked.
Sir, like.
Sometimes you want a hamburger, but you know it was like shitty hamburgers probably from like the dollar. Like the, well, at that point, probably like 10 cent menu.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel, my heart is broken for
He's
her.
He's such a dick. He's just trying to, like,
such
play.
Such a dick.
Like,
we all did it. Well, okay. Well,
it's totally fine, you guys. Like, sometimes you kidnap a person.
We like hamburgers.
And you make them impersonate an iconic soul queen.
Danae, have you not?
Oh, you haven't done
kidnapped
that?
Somebody and made them be a soul queen?
Right. Like,
come because on. They were very, very talented very of their own accord.
So convincing. Like,
so sir. Embarrassing.
So he tries to just, like, act like it's MBD, and it's like, okay, Lavelle. And at the Marion County Courthouse, Florida prosecutor Gus Musla ordered the show's promoter, Albert Wright, to refund all the customers of that big-ass show.
Okay, fair.
And
fair.
He did. Which is like,
good. My voice just did that thing, too. Where I opened my mouth and went, So if you hear that, sorry, that wasn't me. That wasn't Kim.
So soon, a lawyer by the name of Don Denson appeared at the prosecutor's office to convince him that Lavelle Hardy had already paid his dues.
I was wondering, I was like, who is he representing? So I was hoping it was Mary.
Lavelle Hardy had been found, like when he was arrested, he had $7,000 on him, like in cash. And in today's money?
I was about to say, how much is that in today's? Can I guess?
Yeah.
Can I guess? $50,000.
Oh my God. That was spot on.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No, you got it right. I did look it up. I was going to look up, like, you what got would it the right. Val. Oh my God. Yeah. Can I? $50,000. Do I get an award?
You get a pat on the back.
Thank you. Thank you. You have to make me a bracelet now.
Okay.
On Sunday.
I'll just put 50K on there.
So people are like, what does that mean? I'm like, I guess something, right? So like, I don't know. It just sounded joke. Like to me, it. I was like, it sounds like 50 grand because yeah. it's like I thought it's like 10%, but a little bit less.
It's a lot of money. So he basically had to pay all that money to this lawyer to get him to go to the prosecutor and be like,
is that him?
Yeah. And be like, hey.
He looks like Prince.
He does look like Prince. Yeah. A little bit like Prince.
Like just with that hair.
With that hair.
De hair though.
And so the prosecutor was like, fine, okay, he paid a shit ton of money for this lawyer, so whatever, you can go free, just get the fuck out of Florida, like, leave. And so
I kind of get it, you're like, I don't want to deal with this, I don't want to deal messy. With this
hustle.
So because it's like Hardy it's not leaves. Like that's a common case either, so no, it's like where weird. Do we even go from here? Yeah.
And so Mary Jones, as we know, she didn't have a cent to her name because Lavelle was like holding back all the money that
all 50 grand.
Who basically. Knows if he would have even paid her at the end of this? Like, had it all gone to plan, like, would he have actually paid her?
Probably not.
So she's like, well, I guess I'm just going to go to the prosecutor myself and like plead my case. And so she goes there and she's like,
good for her standing up for herself.
She said, quote, I had gone to Florida to perform under my stage name of Vicky Jane Jones. And she like told him how Lavelle had threatened her life.
The worst part is they had to go by word of mouth because it's not like they had like any email communication about this
like,
or anything.
There's no like paper trail to this.
Yeah.
And she's like, he was telling me he's going to throw me in the bay. Like, what was I supposed to do? I have no money to get home. I can't escape. And who knows what this psychopath's going to do to me if I try. So
I really don't blame her for being scared because first off, she was lied to. And that's already psychotic.
He's a stranger.
Like that she was lied to. And it's like, if somebody's going to lie to you about that and get you into a vulnerable area, because she was vulnerable, yeah, no, she didn't have money to get home. Like
And he knew that.
And he knew that. He used that against her. That's why he didn't pay her in the first place, which, let's be honest, was he going to do it anyway? Who knows? I totally get where she's coming from.
Yeah. So it was just like obvious once she kind of told her side of it that the prosecutor was like, okay, like this lady's clearly a victim.
I do
like,
love that they trusted her.
There's no way
her.
She was in on this. She had no idea. And so he's just like curious and he's like, so like, how did you fool all of those people into thinking that you were Aretha Franklin?
Did they at any point go to any of her shows?
No. The guy,
I guess they found it out
the
afterwards.
Prosecutor, actually, he did have tickets for the Ocala show, but because it never happened because they found out.
So he's probably a little bit emotionally involved in it.
He's like, I had tickets to the show. Like, how did you fool
all these people?
I was going to
say, like, did anyone?
And he was like, can you just, like, sing for me? And, like,
I was going to say, please tell me she proves herself.
She sang for him in his office, and it rung out through the courthouse. Like, people were like,
what is that? That what? Angel singing?
And he was like, oh, I get it now.
Makes sense.
Makes sense. That tracks. And he was very impressed. He was like, she has a terrific voice and that she did have her own distinctive style. And he was just like, this lady has a talent. And I could see how she was a victim. I could see how this man's wheels were turning.
Yeah.
And he took advantage.
I love that she could prove herself and he trusted her too.
Yeah. So
that's what I was concerned about.
He was like,
time.
Go on, get out of here. You're free.
Go on, get.
Go on, get. I don't know. Maybe that's how Florida people
But was
talk.
She given money to get home?
Okay. So that's what brings me to my next.
I didn't remember
no,
this part because I've heard this story one time and I was like,
that's
holy shit.
Like my next line is like, but she still had to get home.
Yeah. Somehow.
So Lavelle had spent all the money that she had earned on a lawyer. And so she's still stuck. And amazingly enough, this dude.
Thank God her mom was watching her kid. She wasn't like relying on like a babysitter, you know? So her mom, like, there's more flexibility, obviously, when it's your parent.
But amazingly enough, this dude named Ray Green, who was a lawyer and also like a self-made millionaire, offered to be her agent. He's like, let's write up a contract. let's tour around Florida for real. I will pay you.
With you being Vicky James or Vicky Jane.
No, he was like, because the media got wind of this and everyone wanted to see the Aretha Mary Simon Franklin impersonator.
So she got to be herself.
No, they wanted to see her as the impersonator. So they toured around and he gave her $500 up front before they even started this tour.
To prove that he was good for it.
To prove he was good for it. And he got her back home.
Was she, and I'm just questioning, was it the Aretha Franklin impersonator? That was her name?
Yeah. So it was kind
of
like.
That's why I was like, hold on. She's not.
Who has been in the media that tricked a whole bunch of people and now they want to see what she can do.
Okay. That's why I was like, wait, is she Vicky Jane or whatever or her name? But that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I'd be curious too.
Hell yeah.
You've like, fooled that many people. Obviously, you're good.
And so she agreed to the tour, which actually ended up being sold out in, like, every city.
Oh, I love that. So
she, like, her financial problems were solved. She was doing shows in New York, Detroit, Miami, Las
I was going to ask if it stayed in Florida or if it moved. No, it I love that national. It was around. Yeah, yeah.
And so she's making up to $1,500 per night.
So great.
So in today's money, what do you think that is?
$15,000. Oh, gosh. I just, like, I'm trying to do. Like,
no, $1,500. Sorry.
$1,500. Maybe like $12,000.
You're so close. $13,000. Look at you. Well, mathing it out.
I can't. Well, I'm an accountant, so
I'm an accountant.
I mean, so I do this for a living.
$13,000 per night, compared to when she was making $10 a night.
I love it.
Trying to get by. And she's like sending this money home, you know?
Obviously, she's like a great mom.
And so she's killing it.
Love that.
Duke Ellington.
Shut the fuck up. Duke Ellington is king. He's king of the world. As far as I'm concerned.
Had her come on stage and perform a song with him.
I wrote a 10-page paper on him.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
So, like, in like, middle school, I think. I don't know.
Duke Ellington was a really good guy.
Well, because I wanted to do something different because everyone was like writing about like artists and I like,
they were like Anne Frank.
And I looked, I was like different Duke people Ellington. And I was like, because I wanted to learn something different. I was such a fucking nerd. So I wrote about Duke Ellington and the teacher. Things. Well, I definitely got an A because the teacher's like, nobody writes about that. They wrote about like fucking Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera. I was old.
I mean,
I almost Britney, did the Spice Girls and then
Duke
I said,
Ellington, like, iconic as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So she was actually photographed with him and on the cover of Jet magazine, which was like a pretty big magazine where like in her like past life, that's where she like would see pictures of Aretha and aww, read about Aretha Franklin's life.
Full
and,
circle,
like, you know, so it was like this weird like full circle moment where March of 1969,
not to brag, but that's how I felt about 17 cover. magazine.
She is on the cover with Duke Ellington and she was just like famous overnight for being the counterfeit Aretha Franklin, but
for her talent.
But what she wanted, she was like, I don't want to like, I want to be like an actual artist, like who's known for me. I want to write songs about me and my life and like my experiences. I don't want to be known for impersonating someone else.
Because I'm good on my own accord.
Totally.
Yes, I am emulating Aretha Franklin, but so, I'm also very talented.
Duke Ellington offered to write her 6 songs to get her started, like, on her own path. And he was like, you just got to get away from the, like, you got to stop being the impersonator. You got to be you.
You got to be Mary Simon.
I'll write Mary Jones. I'll write
Mary Jones. Why do I think Simon?
Songs for you. And she was like, she never really, like, accepted, but she never really, like, broke out of the Aretha Franklin impersonator thing because she was making money doing that. And so she didn't really ever
just and I can understand
get
that.
Out of that.
Yeah, I can understand that. And sometimes it's hard to distance what made you big.
Totally. And especially, like, that's what you're kind of known for. That's what you're good at. To break free from that would be, like, a huge, huge thing to do. But she ended up going back to her hometown to perform a show. And at this point, her kids were living with her shithead ex-husband.
Oh, no, you don't want that.
Who literally told them she would never come back to them. Like,
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Like, these are your kids too. And you're like, your mom's never going to come back. She doesn't love you. Like,
I do not get it when people use their children.
That's fucked, dude.
As like ammunition.
It's horrible. So her four sons are like fucking heartbroken, and as you would be.
Absolutely. How old are they at this point?
I'm not exactly sure, but they're like young.
Because in my mind, like when she left, they were like 11, 12, 13, 14. No, you know, like
They were younger than that.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't say necessarily, but it's so her said mom they couldn't
watch them anymore, so she had to kind of turn them to the ex-husband.
Yeah, to the ex-husband.
That sucks.
So Gregory, one of her sons, recalled that anytime Aretha Franklin came on the radio, he'd turn it off because he just like couldn't stand to listen to it. Like it broke his family.
This is what ruined my mom. Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
So she's in her hometown. She was eating at a restaurant one night when two of her sons spotted her and they ran into the dining room to go greet her. And this was like a adult only restaurant.
Did this like shake her out of this?
Yeah. And so the wait staff is kind of like, oh, children, get out of here. They're like trying to like stop the kids.
Like, this
and
is
she's
my mom.
Like, oh my God, like those are my babies. Leave them alone. And in that moment, she's like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? And so
I need to be there for my boys.
Yeah. So in that moment, she made a decision. She quit show business and she raised her sons.
I don't hate that decision.
Yeah. She gained full custody of her sons so that they wouldn't have to be around that shithead dad.
Yeah.
And she never looked back. Mary Jones never performed again professionally. Her sons remember how their mother continued to sing old Aretha Franklin records, and they kept the copy of Jet magazine with herself and Duke Ellington on the cover to remind them that they could be anybody they wanted to be.
She passed away
in 2000, but will always be remembered for her incredible talent and almost unbelievable story.
I think this needs to be a movie.
Right?
You said last week mine needs to be a movie. This one does too.
It's crazy.
Because I think
you could get away with and like, no, like, I've never heard this before. I listened to Criminal, and I was like, there's no way.
There is no way. There's so many stories out there. Like, I know we talk shit about social media and the internet, but this shit wouldn't have flown.
Oh, no. This would have never happened. Like, you could get away with so much.
And, like, she was talented, and she should have been performing, yes. But, like, she should have been performing as herself because she had talent of her own accord.
It just reminds me, too, of, like, I feel like Drunk History is really good at, like, sharing historical stories where you're like, what?
In a lighthearted way.
Yeah.
Ape-armed man. The awkward ape-armed. That is my favorite part because at first you're like, this is annoying. And then it just gets funnier because he keeps saying it and you're like, what the fuck? I don't know. That's such a good story because you're famous. You're like, oh my God, I'm able to perform for my kids.
She ended up
But then you have to be shaken out of it. But like, oh, you started this because of your kids and you lost
sight of it.
You lost it in the sauce, basically. Yeah. Like, so I think that's amazing. I know it's like, oh my God, my kids. But I think it's easy to lose, like, because she did it all for her kids so she could, provide for them. And then she, like, kind of got lost in it. And then it was like, no.
Yeah.
I lost what I was doing it for. So that's a good one.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. It just needs to be
heard. How often do we get to end on a happy note? I also thought it was,
like, kind of, like, a good one for Black History Month. Like, these are stories that need to be told that, are, like, we wouldn't know about this unless, like, Jeff Mache didn't, like, somehow stumble upon this random Jet magazine where he's like, wait, what?
You know what's heartbreaking is there's probably a lot of stories that are like as inspiring as this that have gotten lost.
Oh, for sure.
Over time.
Just over time.
And it sucks.
Yeah. But it's a weird one and a crazy one. So we'll post a picture of Aretha Franklin and we'll post a picture of Mary Jones just so you can like see, because like there's definitely
There's similarities, there's differences. Yeah. And we'll post pictures of Homeboy and his pompadour.
Yeah.
So annoying.
And the magazine, the Jet magazine cover of her in Duke Ellington, which is like fucking so cool. Iconic. Could you imagine? Like, that's so fucking cool.
That'd be like meeting like someone that's even like above your hero. Like, yeah. I can't even imagine. That'd be like me taking and a picture with like, being like Mick Jagger or something. He's just like, what?
You got it. Like, someone of that caliber to be like, you've got the talent and you need to but be you. But the
fact that you could trick a few thousand people, like, that right there should be enough. Yeah. And I'm still proud of me for knowing 50 grand. I'm gonna walk that on the high so for this good. Week. I was actually really impressed you with myself. You were
spot on.
I do accounting for a living.
I love this is what math.
I
do.
I am gonna say nothing more.
Yeah, so we'll post the pictures on Instagram, which is Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram.
You know, we want to hear stories. We want to hear your thoughts. If we get something wrong, you have to be nice, though. Or Danae and I are sassy. We don't care. We'll talk back. But if you're kind, just tell us a story or tell us self-care tips. Like, yeah. We love hearing from people. It makes our week. It really so does. Just email us at MysteriousMavensPod and just at gmail.com.
Yeah.
You know, we want reviews. We want subscriptions. If you really enjoy this, if you hang tell out with people friends. Like you, tell your friends. Like, we're all friends here. We're all best friends here.
Oh, my God. Should we make bracelets for people?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If you email us, we'll make you a bracelet.
Yeah.
And send it to you.
We will. And we don't know what it will say, but yeah, if you email us. Yeah, we'll make you a bracelet and we'll send it to you. So send your address. Also, review us and we'll, if you review us, we'll read it. And 100%. On here. You've heard us talking. Like, we had an email from Tammy Sirocco and we read it because, like, we really appreciated her chiming in. And yeah, we're also on TikTok and we're already on Instagram, but we are on TikTok and Facebook, and that's just Mysterious Mavens Pod, just on both of those social medias. So just
like
find us everywhere except for X and Threads, because
yeah,
the world's weird.
Yeah, we don't need to explain further than that. Anyways, until next time, self-care yourself.
Self-care for yourself.
Okay, bye.
Bye.